We're continuing chapter 23 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And let's see where we are. Bagman went over to Harry and Percy. So, here we go. "I hope my brothers weren't bothering you, Mr. Bagman," said Percy at once. "What? Oh, no, not at all, not at all," said Bagman. "No, they were just telling me a bit more about those fake wands of theirs, wondering if I could advise them on their marketing. I promised to put them in touch with a couple of contacts of mine at Zonko's joke shop." Percy didn't look happy about this at all, and Harry was prepared to bet he was rushing to tell Mrs. Weasley about this the moment he got home. Apparently, Fred and George's plans had grown even more ambitious lately, if they were hoping to sell to the public. Bagman opened his mouth to ask Harry something, but Percy diverted him. "How do you feel the tournament's going, Mr. Bagman? Our department's quite satisfied. The hitch with the Goblet of Fire," he glanced at Harry. "It was a little unfortunate, of course, but it seems to have gone very smoothly, don't you think?" "Oh, yes," said Bagman cheerfully. "It's been enormous fun. How's been old Barty doing? Shame he couldn't come." "Oh, I'm sure Mr. Crouch will be up and about in no time," said Percy importantly. "But in the meantime, I'm more than willing to take the flack. Of course, it's not all attending balls," he laughed airily. "Oh, no. I've had to deal with all sorts of things that have cropped up in his absence. You heard Ali Bashir was caught smuggling a consignment of flying carpets into the country. And then we've been trying to persuade the Transylvanians to sign the international ban on dueling. I've got a meeting with their head of magical cooperation in the new year." "Let's go for a walk," Ron muttered to Harry, to get away from Percy. Pretending they wanted more drinks, Harry and Ron left the table, edged around the dance floor, and slipped out into the entrance hall. The front doors stood open, and the fluttering fairy lights in the rose garden winkled and twinkled as they went down the front steps, where they found themselves surrounded by bushes, winding ornamental paths, and large stone statues. Harry could hear splashing water, which sounded like a fountain. Here and there, people were sitting on carved benches. He and Ron set off along one of the winding paths through the rose bushes. They had gone only a short way when they heard an unpleasantly familiar voice. "Don't see what all there is to fuss about, Igor." "Severus, you cannot pretend this isn't happening," Karkaroff's voice sounded anxious and hushed, as though keen not to be overheard. "It's been getting clearer and clearer for months. I am becoming seriously concerned. I can't deny it." "Then flee," said Snape's voice curtly. "Flee, I will make your excuses. I, however, am remaining at Hogwarts." Snape and Karkaroff came around the corner. Snape had his wand out and was blasting rose bushes aside, his expression most ill-natured. Squeals issued from many of the bushes, and dark shapes emerged from them. 10 points from Ravenclaw, Fawcett," Snape snarled as a girl ran past him. "And 10 points from Hufflepuff, too, Stebbins," as a boy went rushing after her. "And what are you two doing?" he added, catching sight of Harry and Ron on the path ahead. Karkaroff, Harry saw, looked slightly discomposed to see them standing there. His hand went nervously to his goatee, and he began winding it around his finger. "We're walking," Ron told Snape shortly. "Not against the law, is it?" "Keep walking, then," Snape snarled, and he brushed past them, his long black cloak billowing out behind him. Karkaroff hurried away after Snape. Harry and Ron continued down the path. What's got Karkaroff all worried?" Ron muttered. "And since when have he and Snape been on first-name terms?" said Harry slowly. They had reached a large stone reindeer now, over which they could see the sparkling jets of a tall fountain. The shadowy outlines of two enormous people were visible on a stone bench, watching the water in the moonlight. And then Harry heard Hagrid speak. "Moment I saw you, I knew," he was saying in an oddly husky voice. Harry and Ron froze. This didn't sound like the sort of scene they ought to walk in on somehow. Harry looked around, back up the path, and saw Fleur Delacour and Roger Davies standing half-concealed in a rose bush nearby. He tapped Ron on the shoulder and jerked his head toward them, meaning they could sneak off easily that way without being noticed. Fleur and Davies looked very busy to Harry. But Ron, eyes widening in horror at the sight of Fleur, shook his head vigorously and pulled Harry deeper into the shadows behind the reindeer. "What did you know, Hagrid?" said Madame Maxime, a purr in her low voice. Harry definitely didn't want to listen to this. He knew Hagrid would hate to be overheard in a situation like this. He certainly would have. If it had been possible, he would have put his fingers in his ear and hummed loudly, but that wasn't really an option. Instead, he tried to interest himself in a beetle crawling along the stone reindeer's back. And the beetle just wasn't interesting enough to block out Hagrid's next words. "I just knew you were like me. Was it your mother or your father?" I don't know what you mean, Hagrid." "It was my mother," said Hagrid quietly. "She was one of the last ones in Britain. Of course, I remember her too well. She left, see, when I was about 3. She wasn't really the maternal sort. Well, it's not really in their natures, is it, to know what happened to her? Might be dead for all I know." Madame Maxime didn't say anything. And Harry, in spite of himself, took his eyes off the beetle and looked over the top of the reindeer's antlers. Listening, he had never heard Hagrid talk about his childhood before. "My dad was broken-hearted when she went. Tiny little bloke my dad was. By the time I was 6, I could lift him up and put him on top of the dresser if he annoyed me. Used to make him laugh." That's a weird relationship. A very strange relationship. Hagrid's deep voice broke. Madame Maxime was listening, motionless, apparently staring at the silvery fountain. "Dad raised me, but he died, of course, just after I started school. Sort of had to make my mind up my own way after that. Dumbledore was a real help, mind. Very kind to me, was he?" Hagrid pulled out a very large spotted silk handkerchief and blew his nose heavily. "So anyway, enough about me. What about you? Which side you got it on?" Madame Maxime suddenly got to her feet. "It is chilly," she said. But whatever the weather was doing, it was nowhere near as cold as her voice. "I think I will go now." "Eh?" said Hagrid blankly. "Don't go. I know, I've never met another one before." "Another what, precisely?" said Madame Maxime, her tone icy. Harry could have told Hagrid it was best not to answer. He stood there in the shadows, gritting his teeth, hoping against hope he wasn't, but of course it was no good. "Another half-giant, of course," said Hagrid. "How dare you!" shrieked Madame Maxime. Her voice exploded through the peaceful night air like a foghorn. Behind him, Harry heard Fleur and Roger fall out of their rose bush. "I have never been more insulted in my life. Half-giant, moi! I have big bones!" She stormed away. Great multicolored swarms of fairies rose into the air as she passed, angrily pushing aside bushes. Hagrid was still sitting on the bench, staring after her. It was much too dark to make out his expression. Then, after about a minute, he stood up and strode away, not back to the cabin, but off out into the dark grounds in the direction of his cabin. "Come on," Harry said very quietly to Ron. "Let's go." Ron didn't move. "What's up?" said Harry, looking at him. Ron looked out at Harry, his expression very serious indeed. "Did you know," he whispered, "about Hagrid being a half-giant?" "No," Harry said, shrugging. "So what?" He knew immediately, from the look Ron was giving him, that he was once again revealing his ignorance about the wizarding world. Brought up by the Dursleys, there were many things that wizards took for granted that were revelations to Harry, but these surprises had become fewer and fewer with each successive year. Now, however, he could tell that most wizards would not have said, "So what?" upon finding out that one of their friends had a giantess for a mother. "I'll explain inside," said Ron. "Come on." Fleur and Roger Davies had disappeared, probably in a more private clump of bushes. Man, Roger's getting lucky.
For real. He's definitely preying on Fleur's vulnerability at being not asked by Cedric.
Yep. Harry and Ron returned to the Great Hall. Parvati and Padma were now sitting at a distant table with a whole crowd of Beauxbatons boys.
Yeah, they are.
And Harry and Ron.
Dumb.
And Hermione was once again dancing with Crumb.
Yeah, she was.
Harry and Ron sat down at a table far removed from the dance floor. "So," Harry prompted Ron, "what's the problem with giants?" "Well, they're..." Ron struggled for words. They're not very nice, he finished lamely. Who cares? There's nothing wrong with Hagrid, Harry said. I know there isn't, but blimey, no wonder he keeps it quiet, said Ron, shaking his head. I always thought he got in the bad way of some engorgement charm when he was a kid or something like that. Didn't like to mention. What does it matter if his mother was a giantess, said Harry. Well, no one who knows him will care, because they know he's not dangerous, said Ron slowly. But, Harry, they're just vicious giants. It's like Hagrid said, it's in their natures. They're like trolls. They just like killing. Everyone knows that. There aren't any left in Britain now. What happened to them? Well, they were dying out anyways. Excuse me.
Bless you.
They were dying out anyways. And then loads got themselves killed by horrors. They're supposed to be giants abroad, though. They had out in mountains, mostly. I don't know who Maxine thinks she's kidding, Harry said, watching Madame Maxine sitting alone at the judge's table, looking very somber. If Hagrid's half-giant, she definitely is. Big bones. The only thing that's got bigger bones than her is a dinosaur. Harry and Ron spent the rest of the ball discussing giants in their corner, neither of them having any inclination to dance. Harry tried not to watch Cho and Cedric too much. It gave him a strong desire to kick something. When the Weird Sisters finished playing at midnight, everyone gave them a last loud round of applause and started to wend their way into the entrance hall.
Wind their way?
It says wend.
Wend?
Yeah. It's the same type of thing.
Oh.
Wend your way.
Oh.
Many people were expressing their wish that the ball would have gone on longer, but Harry was perfectly happy to be going to bed as far as he was concerned. The evening hadn't been much fun. It's because he didn't dance with his hot date.
I think that you and Harry have a lot in common when you're younger.
Out in the entrance hall, Harry and Ron saw Hermione saying goodnight to Crumb before he went back to the Durmstrang ship. She gave Ron a very cold look and swept past him up the marble staircase without speaking. Harry and Ron followed her, but halfway up the staircase, Harry heard something calling him. Hey, Harry. It was Cedric Diggory. Harry could see Cho waiting for him in the entrance hall below. Yeah, said Harry coldly as Cedric ran up the stairs toward him. Cedric looked as though he didn't want to say it, whatever it was in front of Ron, who shrugged, looking bad-tempered, and continued to climb up the stairs. Listen, Cedric lowered his voice as Ron disappeared. I owe you one for telling me about the dragons. You know that golden egg? Does yours wail when you open it? Yeah, said Harry. Well, take a bath, okay? What? Take a bath and take the egg with you. Just mull things over in the hot water. It'll help you think, trust me. Harry stared at him. Tell you what, Cedric said. Use the prefix bathroom, fourth door to the left of the statue of Boris the Bewildered on the fifth floor. Password's Pinefresh. Gotta go, wanna say goodnight. He grinned at Harry again and hurried back down the stairs to Cho. Harry walked back to the Gryffindor Tower alone. That had been extremely strange advice. Why would taking a bath help him work out what a wailing egg meant? Harry's so dumb. Was Cedric pulling his leg? Harry is so dumb. Was he trying to make Harry look like a fool so Cho would like him even more by comparison? Harry is so dumb. The fat lady and her friend Vi were snoozing in the picture over the portrait hole. Harry had to yell, "Fairy lights!" before he woke them up. And when he did, they were extremely irritated. He climbed into the common room and found Hermione and Ron having a blazing row. Standing 10 feet apart, they were bellowing at each other, each scarlet in the face. Well, if you don't like it, you don't know what the solution is, don't you? Yelled Hermione, her
Wait,
hair.
What?
That's what it says.
You don't know what the solution
is. Oh, sorry. If you don't like it, you know what the solution is, don't you? Yelled Hermione. Her hair was coming down out of the elegant bun by now. Her face was screwed up in anger. Oh, yeah? Ron yelled back. What's that? Next time there's a ball, ask me before someone else does, not as a last resort. Ron mouthed silently like a goldfish out of water as Hermione turned on her heel and stormed up the girl's staircase to bed. Ron turned to look at Harry. Well, he sputtered, looking thunderstruck. Well, that just proves completely missed the point. Harry didn't say anything. He liked being back on speaking terms with Ron now, too much to speak his mind. But he somehow thought that Harry had gotten the point much better than Ron had. And that's the end of chapter 23. Next is chapter 24, called Rita Skeeter's Scoop.
What does it have a picture? I don't see it.
It's a picture of...
Oh, it's Hagrid and his dad. Uh-oh.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I forgot. This is where we learn, like, we start finding out about Rita Skeeter, because she's the beat. She's the Animagus.
Yeah.
And a what?
Animagus.
Oh, he's a sleepy puppy.
What a kitty. When you listen to this later, you're going to be a sleepy kitty. I love you so much. You're very cute. Sleepy kitty. Good night, boo. I love you.